I read a story this week about a couple whose last name was Sen, S-E-N, okay? They had this idea that they were going to name their baby after the fathers of each of the parents. So they took the name of the husband's father. His name was Harley. And they took the name of the mother's father. His name was David. And they didn't really realize what they were doing until they went to write it all out together on the birth certificate. And this young man's name was Harley Davidson. Now, yeah, right? Exactly. How would you like to live with that for the rest of your life? They say they didn't know what they were doing, but I think they probably did. Like me, when I was a young husband, I always thought, you know, if we had a baby and it was a little girl, that we should name her Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn Bridgewater. Wouldn't that be a great name? No? Yeah? I think maybe that's why God gave us boys. Anyway, names are important. The child is going to live with the name that you give for the rest of their life unless they have it legally changed, of course. But names are important. I hesitate to share this one with you, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go down that limb. There's a couple in Brazil, and their last name is Butts, B-U-T-T-S. Now, the husband didn't have a choice. His parents named him that, but he married, his name is Harry, and he married a woman named Rosie. And that is true. And some people say that cannot be true. There's no possible way that's true. It's true. I worked with Harry's brother, Virgil, at Butts Auctioneer Service. So there's a couple in Brazil, and you can do the math and put their names together. But anyway, when Mom was expecting me, she was expecting a girl because, now no comments, she had the first four children, she had a girl first, and then she had boy, 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 and then when she found out she was expecting again, she was so sure that I was going to be a girl that she promised my grandpa that she would name me after him. And so out I came, and she owned up to her promise, and now my middle name is Myron, and I've been carrying that with me for almost 49 years. Now, I'm not a big fan of that name, and Mom claims she was trying to be poetic, because you think about it, Ron, Myron, you know, but that's not what she was doing at all. Anyway, we think back through history. And we think of all of the different names that have ever lived throughout all of history. When certain names come up, in fact, you don't even have to say their whole name. You can just say their last name, right? And it automatically conjures up some type of image or some type of thought. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. Einstein. Obama. Jordan. You know, if you're a sports fan, you get that one. Hitler. Bin Laden, you know, you can just name these names and some good, some not so good. There are some people that have lived, you just mentioned their first name and you know who it is, right? Elvis, that's all you got to say. All you got to say is Dale Jr., Kobe, right? Madonna, all you got to do is say their first name and you know exactly who we're talking about. Again, some good, some not so good. And immediately an opinion seems to form of that person. But the Bible tells us that there is a name that is above all names. And that name is Jesus. Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now, we can mention the name of Jesus, and just like some of those other names that we mentioned, you're going to have a wide variety of opinions as to what that means to someone. And some of them are going to be positive, and some of them are going to be negative. So what I want to do tonight is I want to share with you three aspects of Jesus' name and the power that is in his name, and I think this should give us hope as Christians. This should give us comfort as Christians as we continue to live out our lives in this sinful world. So here's the first thing that I want us to know about the power that is available in Jesus' name. The first is this: it has the power to heal. Okay? Now, we often read the Gospels and we read the stories where Jesus touched people. He had compassion on them and he healed them. Someone might be afflicted with something and his heart just broke for them, and so he healed them. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus healing a dying boy. John chapter 5, we see Jesus healing an invalid at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 9, he healed the blind man. In Matthew 8, we see that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law who was suffering from a high fever. Now, he probably should have checked with Peter on that one to make sure that it's okay to do that. But I haven't had a mother-in-law joke in a long time, so I get one every once in a while. Anyway, John 11, we read where Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus healed him. Brought him back to life in four days he'd been dead. And there's countless other healing miracles. We could go on and on and on that Jesus performed. Miracles that the apostles did as well in Jesus' name. And I'm not sure why we have a tendency to shy away from this and why we sometimes don't want to pray for healing. I don't know if it's just our brotherhood of churches that have just said, well, you know, there's so many different views on healing that we ought to just stay away from that altogether. We're afraid that someone might label us as charismatic or something of that nature. But we don't talk about healing all that much in our churches anymore. And I think one reason that we don't is because there's been so much negative on TV about healing. You know, we watch some of the things that take place and some of the, you know, I want to be real careful what I say here is to not sound judgmental, because I don't want to be held accountable for knocking something maybe God is doing. But I believe that we have witnessed people abusing God and his healing power on TV, and I'll just leave it at that. Or we see people who maybe some healings have taken place. I don't know. But instead of giving Jesus the credit for it, instead of giving God the credit for what has happened, they take the credit for it. So I think we're making a huge mistake if we think that God is not in the healing business anymore. Now, there's a couple of qualifiers that I want to put in place, and one of them is this. When a healing takes place in the power of Jesus' name, it is always God who heals and not man. Always. When we see a miraculous healing take place, it's always God. And I don't know if anybody has ever witnessed this or not. Has anybody ever been in a situation where they have just actually seen the hand of God and a healing take place? If it is, if you have, it's pretty remarkable. But if you have, it's because God did it. Not because an individual did it. God's power was demonstrated maybe through a person, but it wasn't the person that did it. Now, I'm not a fan of these name it and claim it healers that we see who abuse the power of Jesus' name at all. You know, we need to be in prayer about that. We need to be in prayer about people who are watching some of these things take place so that they're not led astray. And then here's the second qualifier I think we need to take into consideration, and that is sometimes God uses medicine to heal us. You know? I don't think we can ever underestimate the brilliant minds that God has created that has allowed the medical world to come up with different procedures and operations and treatments that have been able to heal people when it's needed. I fully believe that God uses doctors. I fully believe he uses nurses to accomplish his will in the healing process. Now, I have talked to some doctors that think they're God, but they're not, okay? I have met some doctors who understand that they are just an instrument in the hands of God, and that's pretty refreshing, and that's pretty awesome to see. But I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he's God. And if Jesus could heal all those people that I mentioned in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, and he never changes, he has the ability and he has the power to heal people today if he so chooses. I've seen it in my own family. I've mentioned this to you before. Almost every single one of my siblings and I have been close to death, and God healed. Especially my three brothers. Horrible accidents. Jim fell, cracked his head twice. Horrible breaks, and Jeff was trapped in a machine one time. They turned it on, an industrial accident, and it squished him, and he lost half of his pancreas, and he lost his spleen, and it cut his liver, and he really should not have lived through it. My brother Bobby, they found him on the bottom of a swimming pool, and they pulled him out, and they basically said he was dead, but they were going to keep working on him in the ambulance, and they called it a non-fatal drowning. I'd never heard that term before, but that's what happened. And so the last time I checked, God is still the great physician, right? So he can do that. He can heal. But here's the second thing I want us to... Well, let me back up a minute. One other thing I didn't plan on saying, but I feel like the Lord just gave me this in my mind for a reason. Sometimes the best healing that can take place is when God decides to call us home too. That's the ultimate healing. That's when we become perfect. So if we're praying and God doesn't answer our prayer of healing the way that we think that he should, and he calls someone home, well, he's answered your prayer maybe in a way greater than what you even thought. So keep that in mind as well. Second thing I want you to understand about the power of Jesus' name is it has the power to forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said some words that... You ever read something in the Bible that you just wish wasn't there? You read it and you're like, man, I wish Jesus hadn't said that. And you just kind of feel like you're on the hook because he said it. Well, here's what he said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Can I be real honest with you? There's times I don't want to forgive. There's times when I would just as soon stay mad. There's times when I would just as soon stay miserable. There are times when I would just as soon let that person that did me wrong eat at me. I'd rather do that sometimes. But Jesus was pretty clear, unless you forgive, my Father will not forgive you. Ouch. That hits pretty hard, doesn't it? Not to go into much detail, and I was just sharing with Kendall this story out in the hall before the service started. And I just feel like I want to share it with you. Several years ago, I had kind of a confrontation with someone in the church, and we'd been at odds for a little while, and we just did not see eye to eye. We did not get along at all. And God has done a work in our relationship that is just, I think, miraculous, to the point of this person stopping me this morning with tears in his eyes saying, I want you to preach my funeral whenever I pass away. Unless we forgive, God won't forgive us. Matthew 9, Jesus healed a paralyzed man. The teachers of the law, they're giving him a hard time. But they're giving him a hard time because of what he said in verse 2. He said, your sins are forgiven. That's what they worried about more than anything. Who's this guy that thinks he can forgive sins? Only God can do that. Is he claiming to be God? No. Verse 5, he asked the teachers of the law, which is easier? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? You know? I can't help but think there are some times when it would be easier for us to try to heal somebody than it is for us to forgive somebody. Because what somebody did to you was just so awful in your mind. And it might be, you know, to forgive someone for the evil that they've done. We've all been there. We've all had somebody in our lives that has done something bad to us or said something bad about us. And we have found it hard to forgive that person. You know? I heard someone give a testimony once about how she had to forgive her birth mother. She was later adopted, but she had to forgive her birth mother because her birth mother tried to abort her and failed. But then she was born, and she still didn't want her, so she gave her up for adoption. Now, can you imagine learning that your birth mother had decided to end your innocent, precious life and failed and then gave you up for adoption? That's how much she didn't want you around. Can you imagine living with that hurt? Can you imagine living with that anguish? Can you imagine trying to get to the point in your life where you could forgive that person? Now, I've talked with some of you about different things that go on in your life. I don't know what scars, all scars, everyone is carrying with them. I know some of the scars that some of you carry. But I'm pretty sure that they're probably not like what I just described to you. Of having your very mother try to kill you before you ever take your first breath. Through the name of Jesus, this girl has learned the power to forgive. And she has forgiven her birth mother. And she actually, to this day, has a relationship with her now and was actually able to lead her birth mother to the Lord. Now, if that young lady can forgive, what is it that holds us back from saying, I forgive you? I think that sometimes when we get to the point where we're able to genuinely forgive someone, then that can bring healing more than any other type of healing we can experience. I think that's better than any physical healing that we can ever have, is when we are able to heal old wounds by forgiving one another. I think a lot of our emotional healing comes from being able to forgive. Think about Jesus on the cross for a moment. If Jesus, who's hanging on the cross, and this thought just hit me here recently. He said, I read for you earlier in Matthew, unless you forgive, my Father will not forgive you. And Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he set the example for us of forgiving people, okay? After hours of beating, after hours of humiliation, just before his death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, he could not have prayed that prayer without having forgiveness in his heart for the very people who at that moment were mocking him and spitting on him, gambling for his clothes, and killing him. You know, sometimes it takes a long time for us to get to the point where we're able to forgive, but here the event is actually happening. In the midst of all of this that's going on in his life, Jesus is forgiving the people who are doing these things to him at that moment. I don't know what situation you might have in your you know, in your life that you need to forgive someone, I'm going to guess that there's probably a few of you in the room that you're holding back forgiveness for some reason. I say it's time to make a move. You know, what do you got to lose? Now, Jesus can give you the strength to talk to whoever you need to talk to. That person who has wronged you, maybe it happened years ago, it's something you're still holding on to. Maybe you're saying, oh, I just can't, it's too painful. I want you to think about Jesus. You think that wasn't painful? What he was dealing with, what he was going through. I want you to think about that young lady that I told you about, that her mother tried to destroy her life before she ever had a chance. If Jesus gave her the power to forgive her mother and lead her to the Lord, if Jesus had the power to forgive the very ones who were taking his life, most of us have not gone through anything that horrific. I mean, maybe some horrible stuff, but probably not to that degree. And I guarantee you, he can help you through it. And it might just bring you emotional healing that you need in your life. Now, let's look at this third aspect of the power of Jesus' name. And this is, I don't know if I want to say my favorite, because all of them are really good, but he has the power to save. There's power to save in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this: salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that believes that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Amen. There's a dangerous, dangerous movement in our society and different churches that, you know, on the surface it seems harmless, and a lot, even Christians sometimes give these churches a pass, and they applaud the number of people that they're able to bring in through the doors of their church. But the problem with this movement is a lot of people, and it's called the emerging church, And they're not all this way, but a good number of them are in the emerging church, are allowing for differences of opinion as to how you can be saved, and that there's other ways to reach heaven besides through Jesus Christ. And you know, their numbers are great because they're attracting you know, people to a, you know, to a show, where they're attracting people to a feel good kind of philosophy. They'll go so far as to not talk about the blood of Christ because, well, that's just too offensive. It's too gross. Nobody wants to hear about blood. Nobody wants to hear about gore. I was talking with Bob Russell about this one time. We're standing out in the hall on one of the days he was here, not most recently, but the time before. And he said, it's interesting to me, the churches that say the world doesn't want to hear about all that blood and gore, but you look at the movies that are selling the most at the box office. They're vampire movies, they're war movies, they're murder mysteries. They're just filled with blood and gore. Don't tell me that people don't want to hear that. It's just an excuse to shy away from the one thing that can actually save us. Now, if we don't have the blood of Christ, we might as well not have church. Amen? Through the blood, through the name of Jesus, that's the only way we can be saved. Again, backing up to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's this mindset that if we just do enough good things, you know, if we can just be good enough, then, you know, everything will be okay. But that's not at all what the Bible says saves us. It's only through the name of Jesus Christ, it's only through his blood can we be saved. I heard about a rich man who was determined to take his wealth with him whenever he died, and he told his wife to get all of his money together, put it in a sack, and then hang it from the rafters in the attic. And he said, whenever whenever my spirit is caught up to heaven, I'm going to grab that sack of money on my way up. Well, eventually he died, and the woman raced to the attic only to find that the money was still there. And she said, I knew I should have put it in the basement. That's bad, I know. But here's the thing. All right, there's a lot of people that think that, man, if I just live good enough, then I'm going to be okay. And they think that, man, all their good stuff is going to outweigh their bad stuff, and they're going to make it to heaven, and they're going to be in for a rude awakening when they stand before the Lord, and God says, what did you do with my son? Well, you know, I gave money to the poor. I even went to church and gave money there. The only thing that matters, the only thing that we're taking with us is our track record. That's the only thing we're taking with us to heaven. What we've done on this earth is the only thing that we're taking to heaven. And if we're not taking the name of Jesus with us, then we're in trouble. A lot of people have bought into this all roads lead to heaven junk. But Jesus very clearly says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The very name of Jesus, which is a form of the name Joshua. I don't know if you know that or not. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, which literally means the Lord saves. Right? No wonder Mary gave Jesus that name. That's why God wanted him called that. The Lord saved, because he would save us from our sins. And I want you to understand this evening that there's power in his name. And it's not some like, okay, this abracadabra kind of thing where I can just say the name of Jesus and poof, you know, these things happen. But there's power in his name. There's power in a relationship with him. And I want you to understand that as you leave this place tonight, you know, a lot of people live their lives kind of in this weak, a lot of Christians, this timid, weak type of relationship. But you need to understand that the very name that you wear, Christian, okay, is a reflection of the most powerful being that there is. In God. And you have no reason to walk around timid. You have no reason to walk around scared. You don't have any reason to worry about anything, because God's in control. Okay? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing a closing song. It's page 415, Victory in Jesus. Before we sing it, let's pray.